Very well. If you don't mind, I'll return these to the garden shed first. Shall we? She nodded, though she did find it odd that he didn't just send them with a servant. Surely he had dozens of those. He flinched when she touched his coat sleeve. She ignored his frostiness and looked about. Her shared courtyard in London wanted only a shaft of moonlight to make it romantic. Her new property in Brixcombe, by comparison, must be presentable at all hours. Worston's gleaming drive inspired her, as did its gardens. Flowers of every imaginable shape and colour budded from hedgerows and shrubbery, exactly as her cottage gardens might look one day, if only she had the imagination to achieve it. "I never tire of looking at flowers," she announced. "How invigorating it must be to live here." He looked sideways at her and made a non-committal noise. She paused before a shrub just beginning to blossom, forcing him to stall as well. The shrub's green flowers had blue tips. She poked one delicate, pale yellow centre, entranced by the presence of so many colours in a single bloom. "It's so breathtaking. I can hardly believe it's real."
"Hydrangea macrophylla. At the moment, they are too green to truly be beautiful."
His gloved hand grazed several clumps. Then his voice lowered to a murmur so private, she wasn't sure the words were intended for her.
"The blue becomes so vivid at the edges, and the centres so yellow, they rival the sunset for beauty."
She looked at him in astonishment. Clearly he didn't storm about finding fault everywhere. He glanced sidelong at her again. Chagrin tightened his lips. Without a word, he tugged her along. Gravel crunched beneath their feet, the only sound apart from the chirp of birds. The path wound to a cluster of rhododendrons, standing nearly as tall as Lord Treston. She released his arm, hurrying to inspect it up close. "Heaven," she declared, tracing a brilliant poppy-coloured bloom with one gloved finger. "Now this would look enchanting in her gardens." He set his baskets on the ground and pulled a knife from his pocket.
"Rhododendron eclectium."
He separated the blooms from the shrub and extended the bouquet toward her like a priceless gift, regarding her with a strange, almost hopeful look in his eyes. Her lips parted in surprise. The simple nosegay was the most beautiful arrangement she'd ever beheld. Dumbfounded, she didn't reach for it. Her limbs felt frozen, as if deep inside, her body rejected this sincere attention. She'd received flowers before, of course, but this was different. He had no expectation of her in return. He didn't even like her. She tried to accept them with a gracious smile, but her lips clamped together as if holding back a powerful wave of emotion. She wasn't worthy of his flowers. He shouldn't even be standing here with her. Suddenly, he spun away and seized his empty baskets from the ground. In several strides, he reached the garden shed, wrenched the door open, and tossed them inside. When he returned, the flowers were gone. Her heart thumped unsteadily as she touched her fingers to his coat sleeve again. A buoyant feeling began to lift her feet. Men had looked at her with hot, open arousal and murmured explicit intentions against her neck. Yet for all her years of experience, she'd never felt as beautiful as she had in that moment when he'd held out flowers as earnestly as a lad. She wanted to savour it forever, a precious gift he'd given her without meaning to. His arm stayed rigid under her hand, his back ramrod straight as he led her around to Worston's front steps. Yet his starchy insistence that he wasn't aware of her only underscored how very aware of her he was. It all made sense now, even if she couldn't have been more shocked by it. He reacted to her, whether he wanted to or not. The knowledge was heady, intoxicating, wholly unexpected. And surely, it was utterly ridiculous for her to seize upon it with a strangling grip.